The Volume.
Zenny's Blocks Length.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Help to protect the eyes by keeping harmful blue light out. Because they're virtually clear, add blocks to any Zenny frame for stylish, all-day protection. Get a complete pair of prescription or non-prescription blocks glasses starting at just $24. Protect your eyes now at Zenny.com.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds. The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more during the Super Bowl than with FanDuel. New users bet $5 and win $280 in cash on either team to win. FanDuel's America's number one sportsbook. It's safe and secure. It's easy to use. And it's fun to combine multiple bets from time to time on their same game parlays. Really easy. Bet a little, win a lot. Discover the most popular same game parlays each day, each night when you log in. How do you do that? Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with the promo code Colin, let them know I sent you. The Colin Cowherd Podcast, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Hi, everybody, and welcome in to the Wednesday morning podcast. Daryl Morey, the deal-making GM of the Philadelphia 76ers, has himself a James Harden prototype. Wait, he's got James Harden, actually. He'll be joining us in 5 minutes. I got some thoughts. I was reading a story the other day. It was a recent survey from the site Real Estate Witch. 90% of millennials said there is such a housing shortage right now. 90% said they would buy a house sight unseen. They just want to get into the housing market. And I saw that and I thought, well, yeah, that's what you do when scarcity is created. That's a lot like what the Rams did with Matt Stafford. There's a limited number of great quarterbacks. He had a losing record. He'd only made one Pro Bowl. And they said, well, there's about seven of these guys on the market that our scouts think are difference makers, even though he has a losing record, even though he's finished fourth place multiple times. We're going to roll the dice, give up multiple first round picks and our quarterback. In fact, we're going to pay Jared Goff to play for Detroit for a year and Matt Stafford to be with us. Listen, 82% of buyers, millennials, would be willing to purchase a fixer-upper, even if it needed major repairs without seeing it. And this is why you got to take big swings. Listen, you can always call a plumber. You can always hire a contractor and fix things. It's the same thing with quarterbacks. You can solve your offensive line in a draft. You can find receivers. There's 30 great ones a year in college. There's 7 great quarterbacks on the market. You do what you got to do. You take big swings to get one. Other thoughts. Kyler Murray making a lot of noise for the Arizona Cardinals. He scrubbed the Arizona Cardinals from social media. They took some shots at him, leaked it to Adam Schefter. He went back on social media. It doesn't happen very often, but we saw something happen during the pandemic. A big chunk of employees retired. And employees now, for the only time in my life that I can recall, employees, even young talented employees, young employees, have leverage sometimes over companies. ZipRecruiter, you've heard of ZipRecruiter? They have job openings, they post job openings. Since the pandemic started, the percentage of companies offering retirement plans to employees has jumped 30%, almost a third. Like, that had mostly gone away. Pensions had gone away. A lot of benefits had evaporated. Oh, not anymore. Because now employees, with remote work, with a lot of people getting into early retirement, the employees now have the power, or at least equal footing with employers. And that's what Kyler Murray has. Kyler Murray looks around and goes, okay, Russell Wilson's in my division. Matt Stafford's in my division. Kyle Shanahan's in my division. What was Arizona before I got here? The GM and the coach were going to get fired. So Kyler Murray's just saying, pay me early. Josh Allen got money early. Like Josh Allen, I'm getting better every year. I've taken a franchise that lost a lot and made them more viable. This doesn't happen a lot. It hasn't happened a lot in my life, and I'm, 58 years old. But I think Kyler Murray is doing what a lot of employees are now doing. Hey, I got the leverage. It doesn't happen much. I'm going to take advantage of it. And he's right. I mean, Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson did not get the bag early and both got hurt. Josh Allen got the bag early, but he's 6'6", 250. Kyler Murray looks in the mirror and goes, I'm 5'10", 210. I want the money. I want it now. I have leverage. And I'll say this. In my history with dealing with corporations, I've rarely had leverage other than, I have a decent size audience. But when you do have leverage as an employee, you best take it because you may never have it again. Had an interesting conversation with somebody in an athletic department about the transfer portal and name, image, likeness. And a Caleb Williams is going to make $2.5 million a year from Beats by Dre. Dr. Dre is a huge USC booster. He's going to make another $2 to $2.5 million a year from his name, image, likeness deal with USC through other donors, sponsors, advertisers. And listen, we all know in college football, it's a have and have not sport. What the athletic administrator was saying, and this is a university that has had a lot of bowl success. It's not a top five program. It's a top 20 program. He said what scares a lot of these athletic directors, there's 130 Division I football programs. There's always been like 7 great ones and another 15 to 20 that are viable. And then there's a bunch that, kind of rotate year to year, another 30, your Purdue's, your BYU's, good programs, if they get the right coach, can win games. The fear with athletic directors now is the have and have nots are going to exponentially grow the have nots. Instead of having 30 have nots, we'll have 60 to 80 have nots. And they'll be at the top of the pyramid, 6 to 8 programs like USC, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Alabama, maybe another 10, Michigan, Oregon, that kind of program. And then everybody else is going to be fighting for table scraps. The stories you are now hearing inside athletic departments, you need $10 million additional dollars per year today to get elite quarterbacks, elite edge rushers, and elite star high school players, or to keep yours in the program. $10 million a year. Okay, that is a lot of additional money when you consider athletic departments outside of football and men's and women's basketball. Everything else usually hemorrhages dollars. You ever meet anybody and they complain that they can never meet the right person? And could be a man, could be a woman, perpetually single or have had bumpy relationships. And then the more you listen to them talk and confide in you, you think to yourself, maybe they're part of the problem. You know, I was thinking about Kevin Durant. His career started with Westbrook and Harden, but Kevin's very passive aggressive. He's not real confrontational. And because of that, even though Westbrook drove him nuts, he never went to the front office and demanded a move by them. Therefore, he broke him up. Then he goes to Golden State, San Francisco, right? It's great. Gets into some fights with Draymond Green. But instead of confronting Draymond Green, he left a dynasty. And what is he left with? Wacky Kyrie Irving, bizarre end-of-game liability Ben Simmons, and a roster that's not close to Milwaukee's chemistry and Miami's chemistry, and certainly not Philadelphia's chemistry. I kind of feel with Kevin Durant, it's on Kevin Durant. I mean, the Westbrook situation in OKC, if you would have gone to management and said, me or Westbrook, you think they would have chosen Durant, right? Like, there was arguments already being made that he was the second best player in the league to LeBron. In Golden State, if he'd have said, dude, let's spend a couple of days, Draymond, hashing this thing out. I'll pay for the therapist. He'd be right now on the best team, arguably, in the league. I like Kevin Durant, but this is why confrontation is good and passive aggressive is not. I mean, Kobe Bryant went to the Lakers and said, get me another star or I'll go to Chicago. They got him Pau Gasol. You know, Michael Jordan did this on multiple occasions. Get me this and get rid of this guy. Kevin Durant's situation is the Bermuda Triangle of weirdness. Anti-vaxxer, flat earther, sage in the locker room, Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons afraid to shoot free throws, doesn't want the ball in key situations in the playoffs, even though he's in his prime. It's hard to feel sorry for people who don't confront their problems. If you end up in another bad relationship, look in the mirror. All right, Daryl Morey, Sixers GM, former Rocket GM, a bon vivant, a world traveler, a global thinker.
Bon vivant, you'll have to explain that one.
Fancy guy. So, you're in Philadelphia. Let's start with this. Like, Houston's a nice sports town, but there's something about the cold winters, the intensity, Northeast America. And I think this is a great quality. Philadelphia, they're hard on their GMs. They're hard on their players. They demand excellence. When you're driving to work and the Sixers are a topic on WIP radio, do you find it aggravating or wildly entertaining?
I love it. I think my last places I've worked, you could only hear football talk. So we in Houston one year, we were, I think, in the Western Conference Finals, and the only talk was the NFL draft. So it gives you a sense of how exciting it is here. The city's a buzz. You know, Joel Embiid's the favorite for MVP. We got a past MVP. We got a stacked team. We got a championship coach. Let's go.
Yeah, I said when the trade came down, I said it because it broke during my show. And I said, I think Philadelphia won the trade. Two reasons. One, and I don't think winning the trade, you know, that's a media term. But I said, generally in my life, get the best player. I thought you did. And I said, secondly, this is a really joyful team. The chemistry's good. I'm just adding a really great piece. I said, listen, they gave up a lot. But that's a lot of moving parts, and this is the middle of a season. So, Daryl, my takeaway was, I do think it's easier to ask one great player to fit into a great locker room than a bunch of parts. Is that how you saw it?
Yeah, I obviously have a real good sense of how good James Harden is. And look, we have Joel Embiid. I think he's going to finish his career being talked of as one of the all-time great big men. I think James Harden's already being talked about as one of the all-time great perimeter players. You know, put them together in terms of what you give up. I don't think you need to focus on that as much when you have an MVP level player. I have a short trade deadline story about what we gave up.
So, I'd like to hear it.
Yeah. So it was the line of our trade deadline. So obviously we were trying to keep, you know, Tyrese Maxey and Thybulle out of the deal. And obviously my job is to keep track of the future, and we ended up, you know, they ended up insisting on, you know, 2 first-round picks if we didn't include them. And, you know, they're pretty steadfast. And at the end of the day, you have to either decide to make a deal or pass. And, you know, we've passed many times. So anyway, to get to the point of the story, we're debating whether we give up 2 first-round picks. And I'll rewind a couple of days. And I was talking to a Western Conference team who we liked a player on their team. We offered 1 first for that player. They said no. And I got a little bothered with the GM. I'm like, this guy's never going to give this player up, but I'm just going to offer 2 firsts to see what happens. You know, and very quickly he's like, no to 2 firsts. This is a player, by the way, that every 2K player, Colin Cowherd, Nick Wright, every human on earth would have said, oh my God, you have to give that player up for 2 firsts. So I just did it just to like see. And he said no immediately. So fast forward to the final day, we're debating 2 firsts, and one of our great front office people were like 3 days ago, we couldn't even get this player for 2 firsts. Why are we debating this? Why are we even talking about this? We can get James Harden. He's a Hall of Fame player. And we're worried about a, you know, a first in the future that's protected. You know, that's the thing. I am very careful. I've never given up a unprotected future first. I think that can hurt franchises, but you know, protected first, so even if things fall apart, you know, in 2085 or whatever, when we gave it up, you know, it won't be a pick in the top of the draft.
Missing football? Well, you can still turn every Thursday into payday with NBA on TNT on the FanDuel Sportsbook. This is great, Thursdays. Doesn't matter if you win or lose. FanDuel's giving all customers $10 back every Thursday in site credit. Every Thursday, just bet a $10 bet or more, same game parlay, any NBA TNT game. Same game parlays are great. You got to combine a bunch of stuff. You can do a money line, a point spread, a player prop, all in one wager. Bet a little, potentially win a lot. I think you'll love it. Same game parlay bets are my favorite. You can bet 10 bucks, 5 bucks, and win 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times the money. FanDuel Sportsbook during the NBA is great. Easy to use, live betting, $10 back.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet 5. That's it, 5 bucks and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying 4th season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how, I don't know where, I don't know what. God, if you show me, God, if you tell me, God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every Thursday, Insight Credit, win or lose with TNT Thursdays. By the way, if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with the promo code Colin to make every moment more this NBA season. Promo code Colin, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbookfanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go, almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The NFL playoffs are here and the Super Bowl is right around the corner. You can follow the action like a fan or you can prep like a scout if you listen to the award-winning Move the Sticks podcast. The show is hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks. The two of us bring knowledge from careers as NFL talent scouts to the podcast world so fans can watch and understand the nuances of the game like never before. After the Super Bowl, it's draft season. If you want to go in-depth on this year's prospects and learn what makes the top players stand out, There's no better podcast than Move the Sticks. We'll break down film from the professional and college games so you can know which player to look out for when the football season returns next fall. You'll learn a ton about the NFL, and I promise we'll make it fun along the way. We'll have several new episodes dropping each week, and you don't want to miss a single one. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
You know, I said on the air, I said, listen, Seth Curry, maybe you guys prize draft picks more. You know, I live in Los Angeles where the Rams just give away first round picks and their takeaway is hell. We're drafting bottom of the first round anyway. And I looked at the deal and I thought, what I wouldn't want to give up, what I would have fought for, because, I mean, you never want to give up two picks, right? The Curry is interesting because I do think in today's modern game, he's a nice rotational piece. Is that something you lost a night's sleep on, the Curry component?
Yeah, you have to give up something to get something. Seth Curry was amazing for us. I mean,
yes,
one of the best shooters of all time. He's actually getting better, even though he's 32 or whatever he is. He came to his career later, and he's improving. So that was a very tough piece. So was Drummond, who was giving us probably the best minutes behind Joel Embiid ever. But, you know, we thought that to take advantage of Joel in his prime over the next several years, you know, to win it, we had to have a player like James Harden. So we don't mind, like, let's say people even are all right. Let's say we quote unquote overpaid. First off, I don't know what that means. We went from 2% title odds to, I think we're sitting at 13% right now. So to me, it's like very straightforward. Our job is to give ourselves a chance to win the championship. This does it. And you're going to have to give up something to get a player of James Harden's caliber.
Are you worried a little bit you gave up Ben Simmons? I mean, he wasn't playing this year, so you're not really giving up his length. You know, Drummond's a big, you know, Ben is a lot of length when he did play. Harden's not a great defender. You still have, to me, I guess you have Embiid, Thybul. I guess probably that's not, I don't know why I always think about this, but many of the great teams, it's tips. It's a possession. You're battling for the ball. That's stuff I think about all the time. What is something in this draft or in this trade that most of us in the media wouldn't think about? Like, length is something bizarre I think about all the time in this league.
Well, you should. I mean, obviously, you have to have a top defense. We had, the second best defense last year. We had fallen to nine this year. I think what you're describing is why we love Ben Simmons. Like, he is a very good player. Like, that is why, you know, we would have preferred this didn't happen. It obviously happened. But having his ability to rebound, set the pace, deflections. I mean, he's an unbelievable defender. So lots of reasons why. Look, it was a win-win trade. You know, I take a step back, and you know this, Colin, because you're a student of multiple sports. A trade is sort of a North American creation. That's not totally true, but it's mostly true. It's mostly big in North America. It's not really something big in the other sports that are big in the world. And some people question, like, why do you have trades? It's weird or whatever. You couldn't design a more, you know, Adam Silver should be so happy, right? You couldn't design a better reason for a trade than what just happened. Two players who wanted to be in a new situation, who are extremely good players, who will play very well in the other place and not this place. If this isn't the perfectly designed trade where both us and Brooklyn can get better, and the rest of the East, I think, is nervous right now. Both of us are a lot better, and the rest of the East, you know, did moves and moves that improved them, but not like the sort of significant moves that Brooklyn and we did.
You know, Daryl, it's interesting. I had said this on the air. Joy Taylor and I are both NBA fans, and I said it's a bad year. I said this week ago, it's a bad year for stories. I said the Simmons story is not, it's not any fun. Kyrie's not any fun. James isn't happy. It's not fun. Westbrook's not working in LA. I said, this has always been a story league, right? Well, today I said on the air, I said, I can't wait to watch Harden play with Embiid. And I'm fascinated, Ben Simmons surrounded by all these shooters. It's kind of a perfect place for him. And so, you know, my takeaway was, yeah, this is, they just engineered two stories. Harden's an interesting player because in international soccer, if you look at Maradona, Ronaldo, Messi, big personalities, everything from tax evasion to we know who their girlfriends are. Europe's ahead of us on this. We understand the stars are dramatic and they're like international royalty. In America, when a player's quirky, we're like bad teammate. So when I look at Harden, I'm like, well, when he's engaged 90% of his career, he's a Hall of Famer. He is not a guy. He's a little bit of an artist. He can be moody. But I think to myself, well, that's international soccer. All right. The great players are sometimes, is our media naive to realize these are the world's greatest artists, athletes are now. It's where all global wealth goes to buy teams. And that we have to bake in, they have needs, they have short careers, they are sensitive because they're hyper-criticized, and Harden's just what global sports are.
Yeah, I think, look, if you take a step back, we're an entertainment business, and there's a lot of similarities to where you live, if you're still living in LA, I assume you are, in
yes.
Hollywood, where you have your Robert Downey Jr.'s, you have your
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale's, Johnny Depp. You have these like hyper-talented guys. They're just different. A lot of what makes them great is because they are different. And I think that's absolutely true. And I think I love the notion of a team. I think we've all played teams generally. And I think the teams that you or I on Colin, I'm not trying to diss your sports career, whatever it might have been, but I'm guessing you probably didn't play like Elton Brand played with, Ron Artest and Lamar Odom when he was a kid. Like
right.
The teams I'm on, there's some better players, some worse players, but there's no future Mozart playing on my teams when I'm growing up. And, you know, these guys like James Harden and the players I can't mention because they're on other teams that only you can mention. They are artists, you know. They're not Matisse. They're not Matisse Thybulles, but they're that was a terrible joke.
Yeah.
But they are artists. They're different, and you know, I think you probably see more of it in Hollywood than anybody.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Just down the street from some.
I don't know. Sometimes people in your job can be a little like that, Colin.
Hey.
I don't know. There might be some some artists out there, you know, or sports talk show people. I don't know.
We've been known to be a little high maintenance. I'm not gonna run from that.
Do you only like one color M&M, Colin? That's my curiosity at this point.
No, I've got my personal quirks. I do.
You can use any toilet, like you know.
Not really.
You don't have to have your own personal.
I've got these weird little.
I'm going to ask Nick. You can't lie to me. Nick will tell me. So.
No, he's still smoking Black and Tars, and he's rich. I'm like, dude, come on. Move on to something more elegant.
Yeah.
It's living in the East. So I'm a West Coast guy. I lived in the East for 10 years, and I liked it. I said this. I needed to be around Boston and New York. It really taught me about people. I really did. I mean, societally, I loved Connecticut's prep schools, their intensity, I thought it was cool because I grew up in Washington State.
Connecticut prep schools are legendary.
Well, I mean, you know about these, don't you?
I've heard about them, but not for sports. Like you're talking about.
But I'm saying, there is something about the intensity when I used to listen to WFAN in New York. The West Coast didn't have that. They were punitive and they were hard. And I do think every sports executive should at least once have to work in the Northeast.
100%. Well, so I've been in Cleveland growing up, Boston. I was there for 4 years, and now Philadelphia. And I know growing up in Cleveland, 3WE was the radio station. I took pride. I'm not kidding. I took pride. They'd be like, we broadcast in 30 states, you know, 3WE. And I'm like, you know, I'm so happy. Our talk shows are, I was glued to the radio. Everything was the Browns, obviously, where I grew up.
Right.
And I'm new to Philadelphia, but the fans in the Northeast absolutely are different. They when it's snowing out and you're indoors all day, you want your team to be playing well. Or you get angry. You're not happy.
That's right.
And especially if the team does dumb things, like you're really angry. So,
yeah. No, I remember listening to WFAN. The Yankees had made some off-season trades. Now, I don't think well-run teams are influenced by this, but the Mets at the time weren't well-run, and they made a move. The callers were killing the Mets. Make a move at the break. Make a move. And they went and got Jason Bay, an outfielder, who just did not work at all. You could tell he was a clunky outfielder. They had a huge, spacious outfield that wouldn't work. But the point being is I did think sometimes the intensity of the media influenced front offices. Sometimes at the trade deadline, make a move. And because I think owners often listen to that. And then they put pressure on general managers. When you look at this team right now, Embiid has a little bit of an injury history. Do you feel, and Harden is now not 24 years old, do you feel, listen, this is a 2 or 3 year window. How do you view the whole thing?
I view it as, look, the most important year is this year. We're in this phase where I've never seen the NBA so wide open. I don't know what you think, Colin. It's like basically Phoenix, Golden State, Brooklyn, us, Milwaukee. If you look in Vegas right now, pretty much all of us have about the same odds, and they're all about 1-6. So it's wide open. You don't see a Golden State, which we kept banging against that wall, our Houston teams. And prior to that, there was a Miami that everyone had to bang their head against. There's not a team like that that's sitting at 40, 50% title odds, which can happen in basketball. It's really rare. So it's wide open. This year's the most important. But we've got a good run. Hall of Fame players like James, they age well. I mean, I think if you look at both the modern techniques that are out there, Hall of Fame level ball handlers and basketball IQ players, there's a few in the league I can't mention, but you can say, are playing at a very high level late into their 30s. And so we feel very good. Look, Joel's a big, bigs generally don't last quite as long, especially as you get over 7 feet. These years are critical, like the next few years. And we have, I think, arguably for sure, the best perimeter interior combination in the league.
If I'd never seen Joel Embiid play and you were sending me out to scout him, and you said, hey, I want you to go look at this guy. You're going to go scout this series. And I said, yeah, I hear this Joel Embiid is great. I'd never seen him play. How would you describe him to somebody?
Well, it depends on your age. You're old enough. So I'd say Hakeem Olajuwon, if he was 7'1". I mean, I don't know if you've been next to Hakeem, but he's like 6'10". I mean, he's tall, but he's not like when I was a kid watching on TV, I'd like for sure he's 7 feet until you get with him. So imagine a 7'1" Hakeem Olajuwon would be they're different in some ways, but both were two-way players. Both were extraordinarily impactful defensively. Both were extraordinarily skilled offensively with amazing footwork. I remember like one of the biggest wow moments when I first came to Philadelphia, you'll never guess, was the Wizards playoffs last year. Joel came down and sort of tweaked his leg. Like
not I remember.
Bad. Yeah. Tweaked his leg. He actually didn't play game four because he tweaked it in game three, didn't play game four. In the back hallway, and Josh Harris and the group had already built up a wonderful medical staff around him, put him through this regiment that they built, that they have for when anything happens. I call it the Jiffy Lube 57-point test. They like run Joel through all these paces. He was able to do moves with both legs off each leg balance that I think Simone Biles would have been moderately impressed with his mobility and balance and strength off each leg at his size. I've never seen anything like it. And people say the same about Olajuwon. So, and they both played soccer growing up. I think the parallels are there, except Joel's, 3 inches taller and much bigger, actually.
I'm going to throw something at you that's kind of weird. So there was always this saying that there were more bigs that busted than guards. And some of that was personality driven, that if you were 7 feet tall in ninth grade, it's difficult socially. And that a lot of the bigs in my lifetime, Wilt was kind of flaky. Kareem was sort of stoic. A lot of centers busted. And if you look at four or five centers who didn't, David Robinson, Akeem, Shaq, Embiid, Giannis, they all share something, a very joyful personality, a transferable sort of personality in a locker room, is that they handled their size at a young age. Maybe they weren't as tall at 11. And that first, my initial theory, which is bigs I had heard for years, could be very different people. But a lot of the great ones, and you've got one, they handled that kind of social challenge differently. And they're very happy people. And it plays in a room.
Yeah, absolutely. Their EQ is generally higher. Well, I've actually studied why bigs bust at a higher rate. And it's
why?
It's two factors. And it's related to what you say. So there's two big factors. One is they're overpicked. So let's say you're a GM. It's not as true anymore because people know the game's going towards more skill than size. But if you look through the history of NBA drafts, if you start to get into the late first, second round, a lot of GMs in the past were like, well, I probably won't get fired if I pick the 7-footer. And if it hits, it hits. It's amazing. But they were just over-selected. They really were. Like, it's like provable in the data. And then on top of that, this is less database. This is more psychology. A lot of bigs play the game just because they were tall early. And they were encouraged by somebody, parents, friends, coach at their local school. Hey, you should play basketball. You're tall, right? But they don't develop the habits and love the game as much. And that's what usually sustains you all the way to be a great player in the NBA. A lot of them will even get to the NBA and not love it. But that the work ethic after you get paid millions of dollars is still very high and needed. And so both of those, I think, contribute to a bust rate. And you're right. I hadn't noticed that the bigs you mentioned are very gregarious, sort of smart. And they had to use their social skills to sort of survive some tough early times in their life.
Right. See, Daryl, a lot of my theories aren't bullshit. They work.
I haven't heard of Manalytics. You haven't brought up Manalytics again yet. Where'd that theory go? I don't even remember what it meant, but I loved it. It was one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're seeing it in the NFL too. The analytics. I've always been a fan of them because I think it's smarter sports. But I've said before, I don't want to reduce my athletes to code. Like
right.
there are moments with Doc Rivers. It's like I want Doc to look the athlete in the eye and be like, dude, I just want you to take the shot.
He does that. That's actually what we're excited about. I think when obviously I came after Doc and Elton were here and they thought that the three of us together could make great things. And so far, I've been learning so much from Doc. He's won a title. I think our strengths are very complementary. He's unbelievable with players, motivation, doing what you just said, which is like, you know, I have a feeling this guy's going to deliver for us tonight. And he does a really great job with that.
I always felt he was Joe Torre as a baseball manager. He reminds me of the stepdad you don't want to disappoint.
Interesting. I also think like this whole 3-1 thing is really nuts because like he's had a bunch of big leads. Do you know who had to create the big lead? Doc Rivers and the team. like, what does it matter?
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddy, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Losing seven games, it's somehow worse if you do it going up 3-1 and then losing seven. Then what if we just alternated every game? No one would talk about it. So, like, to me, actually building a 3-1 lead is a huge achievement. Obviously, if you coach long enough, you're going to have some good times. You can have some bad times. He said both. So it's just like everyone's trying to find a story for why they're up or down on something, you know, which is fine. That's part of the job. So,
you know, it's interesting because generationally, I mean, you know, basketball, especially professional basketball, hip hop, art, music, culturally, it's ahead of other leagues. So that could create a generational issue if the coach is too old. I mean, in football, we don't really talk about Belichick. He's 70. It's not really a thing, right? Saban's right. 70. But in basketball, it is interesting. Is age, Doc feels young to me. Because in L.A.,
he just turned 60.
And he feels young to me.
Got like a 5 handicap or something. I don't know. I haven't played with him because I'm not good enough. But yeah, no, he's a very... youthful, and I think he connects with the players very well.
Daryl, NBA has been a players' league since Spencer Haywood. It's been a players' league forever. I do think there's a danger in labor running anything is that they're more emotional. They're more self-concerned than the macro level. And I did think...
Owners aren't self-concerned at all. Yeah. Owners are always magnanimous.
Altruistic. What is the balance, though? Taking care of your stars, taking care of your players, but them understanding this is a big business and we're all in this together.
Yeah, it's a balance. Look, you only win with great players, you only win when you can make those great players be part of something larger than themselves. So again, this is where Doc comes in. It is not an easy balance. I think every coach GM has struggled with this balance over their times and different teams. But you have to balance it. Look, it's the job. Like if you're just like, oh, I just want to have players who shoot corner threes and do all this stuff. But really the job is personality management, getting them in the right instant, the right, you know, role, the right frame of mind to succeed. And then, you know, putting them in a system that enhances their strengths and minimizes their weaknesses. And, you know, if it was all about just like their skill on the court, you know, we could play 2K, but it's not.
Make sure to check out the Draymond Green Show. I brought Draymond Green into the volume because one of the more entertaining voices in sports, unique perspective, understands behind the rope, also chops up with guests like Gary Payton, Zach LaVine, Tracy McGrady. Make sure, download the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts, only on the Volume Podcast Network.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes to see the true magic of a forest. It's a storybook world for them. You look and see a tree. They see the wrinkled face of a wizard with arms outstretched to the sky. They see treasure in pebbles. They see a windy path that could lead to adventure. And they see you, their fearless guide through this fascinating world.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So I'm going to throw a couple of ideas for the NBA because I think NBA has always been willing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can't wait.
So today.
He's better than Nick Wright's ideas, I'm assuming.
What are his black and tars after every W? What is it?
So he'll have some wacky ideas. So I'm ready for yours. Yeah.
I'm more of a business guy than Nick. Okay. I try to tell him that. So I would cut the league down to about 74 games. Because the revenue produced by television, you're not as beholden to seats and food sold and parking, is that I would think about reducing it to 74 to 70 games, no back-to-backs, little longer All-Star break, add perhaps another round of playoffs. I would cut first round to best of five, not seven. Less is more. I think the money being generated by television puts less of a burden on butts in seats. Thoughts?
So you're 100% right, but you got to just, you're too timid. You got to go farther. To me, like, I like 58. I like every team plays every team two times. So I like a 58 game schedule. You're 100% right. You'll make up any loss, like, yeah, revenue from tickets and whatever over time. in better ratings. Like, people tune in because it's a big game, and they tune in how likely you can win the title. And too many times in the NBA, there's a Monday night, two teams who aren't very good playing, and it's just, it's not good. It's not good for the sport. And we're moving that way. I would add a midseason tournament, which Adam Silver's done a really nice job. He's pushing that. We just won that in our minor leagues. The playoffs, I 100% agree. Shorter is better. I would have it one and done. One and done. Every game is going to be like a Super Bowl or something.
Until the conference finals?
The whole way. And I know I'm like the guy everyone else says is crazy, but there's a reason everyone tunes into every game at huge ratings in the NFL. It is literally one and done. And the NCAA tournament in 63 games gets more TV money than we do in our entire regular season. So, like, the more drama, the more TV ratings, the more money. Like, so in terms of your business, I would do – I know these are radical things. Everyone in the league thinks I'm crazy, but I would do one and done. I would have the regular season. If you're the top two, you get a bye. If you're the next few, you get seeded well. The rest have to – do a one and done play-in. I like radical and creating huge appointment. We just saw the Super Bowl. Any sports should want more games that are close to the Super Bowl. Nothing's going to beat the Super Bowl for a little while, though. I think the NBA can pass the NFL in my lifetime for sure, for their biggest game being a big deal.
I would disagree, but nonetheless, here's my second idea.
Oh, great. I'm good.
I would institute the hand check again. Here's why. Initially, the hand check was eliminated, and sort of that forearm you could use in the back of a center, because it felt like almost a violent move. But I would argue the lack of a hand check and the evolution of the quickness, the twitchiness, and the talent of players, you cannot stay in front of point guards. They go to the basket and have trees fall on them. And increasingly, little guys are getting hurt more, and they're the quarterbacks of your sport. I don't care who gets hurt. When Chris Paul's out, the Suns are not as much fun to watch. And the Warriors aren't as much fun to watch when they don't have Steph Curry. You can lose a forward, even occasionally a big. I want to see movement. Institute a hand check to be able to at least simulate some level of keeping littles out of the paint. It will actually preserve smaller players.
Yeah, so where I'd agree with you primarily is that what we have to stop, and the league's moving in a good direction, is that if you are somewhere within like 5 feet in near the basket, it's basically still mixed martial arts under the hoop. Like, if you've sat under the hoop, which I bet you have.
Yes.
You can't imagine the level of strength, athleticism, and the amount of physical, just huge bodies hitting huge bodies that you see. And that's what's allowed 5 feet and in. And then you go in the perimeter and you can barely breathe on a point guard who's 5'10 and fast going past you. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever to the rules. It creates like really weird things when you're in the brackish area from 5 feet to 10 feet. It's like, so all of a sudden, like you have to go from like, I can't touch them, to now it can be physical, but they're driving. It's very complicated, and it's easier said than done to try and clean it up. But I would say you either need to like not allow the physical play also in the interior, or you have to get back to allowing when there's contact. There has to be extreme levels of contact that moves people off their line, off their base, off their inertial position, before you're calling a foul, even on the perimeter. On the interior, you can like go up and hammer someone, and especially if it's like a loose ball, and there's almost never a call. Like, unless the guy's like tackling them or physically throwing them down, or it's a very obvious, they jump in the air and they get pushed so the ref can see them getting knocked off the line. Otherwise, it's basically anything goes on the interior, and it's basically too much like barely touching them in the perimeter.
Finally, this isn't a theory. It's just I like that I can take you to these places, or you can take my audience to places. There was, for a time, the international players were seen as more finesse but more highly skilled because of the academies they went into early, especially bigs. They were front facing the basket, better shooters, Dirk Nowitzki. And the sense was the American player was a little more physical, not as skilled, a little tougher. In your years in the NBA, I'm seeing a little nastier international players and more skilled American players, at least earlier. That's my interpretation. You tell me, am I onto something or not?
Yeah, I think the league's gotten more skill-based. Like, there's very, very few, like, one-dimensional rebounders. There were a bunch when I was, like, Reggie Evans. They're the, you know, the Theo Ratliff. They're just, like, one-dimensional, really, guys. And you just can't have it. To have an offense that can put big points on the board, you need skill at all five positions. So skill has become more of a premium. People are better at our lower levels in the United States to do more with bigs, and that they are put the ball in their hand more because they know that's how they're going to become an NBA player. So you'll very rarely find a top prospect or top 100, 200 prospect who doesn't have the ball in their hands, no matter what their size, at a very young age now. So that's adding to our skilled bigs. We obviously have a huge number of people playing in the NBA. So we have a huge talent base. Like, it's like in Kenya, the reason they have amazing runners, the entire country runs. In the US, everyone plays basketball. So, and we're a country of 350 to 400 million. So our talent is going to get more and more skilled, especially at a bigger and bigger sizes. And it's closed the gap from international. So international players always were better ball handlers, better shooters, better passers because of how they train. Like Arturis Karnaštovas, who's the Chicago Bulls GM, we worked together. I believe he told me, I'm trying, that he wasn't really allowed to play 5-on-5 until he was like 12. Like, they just drilled ball handling, shooting. It sounds horribly boring as someone who grew up in the U.S. and played basketball. If I was allowed to play till I was 12, and I'm sure there's some exaggeration, I'm getting the story wrong, but more or less that's the case. They had these academies to feed into the overall Soviet system that Lithuania was a part of at the time. So anyway, long story short, to get back to your original question, I believe our players are getting more skilled in the U.S. The training methods are better. The academy levels are better. We have sort of like academies happening at the high school level now and things like that. And it's closed the gap to the skill and the international level. And what that means is that the less athletic players from Europe, they don't have a big skill advantage anymore. So if you don't have a skill advantage, as someone who didn't, I don't know if you played basketball.
Yes.
You probably were more skilled than me. I wasn't skilled. I was tall and I was big. And so when you're tall and big and less skilled, if you're not playing physical, you're not bringing anything. You may as well not play. So I had to play very physical just to be good enough to be on the floor at my pathetic high school level. So anyway, I'm agreeing with you again. I need to disagree with you. If I want a future radio program with you, I need to like make up some controversy.
Yeah, we have to manufacture angst.
We have to ask Brittany, like, you know, what made up argument should we have today or something like that. So,
but you know, one of the reasons I love bringing you on is I've always been fascinated with the growth of sports and the evolution of it, even as a kid. I grew up with Jim Zorn. He was a quarterback for the Seahawks. He was a left-hander. There were no left-handers.
I'm old enough to know Jim Zorn. So
yeah. So I don't know. That was kind of my indoctrination of sports. Professional sports was a lot of that. Now I did grow up. I saw Wilt Chamberlain back in 72 or 73. He was old, slow, headband Laker Wilt. I don't remember him. But I do remember, you know, it's funny about my earliest sports memories. Spencer Haywood is one of them, who was this great player who fought back and said, no, nobody's coming to watch you guys. They're coming to watch me. Do you remember Spencer Haywood?
I don't know Spencer Haywood. I was just glad you didn't reference George Mikan earlier in the program. I do know of Wilt Chamberlain. I didn't get to see.
How old are you?
I'm 49. So my.
Oh, Jesus.
So my big first sports memories, one was my father taking me to see Hank Aaron when I was like six in Milwaukee, because I was born in Wisconsin, and that's an early memory. And my other world is I loved World Be Free on the
Clippers
in 82. And you know what's crazy is I see World Be Free every night. He's from Philadelphia, and he's like you know, it's great. Like sometimes I want to suit him up because he's in great shape and I know he can shoot, and shooting's a premium. Worldly Free would be much better now than he was back then.
I've said that about Dave Kingman, who played for the Mets and Giants. Today, it'd be Cody Bellinger.
Oh, Dave,
a
Kingman
tall guy who strikes out and hit home runs.
Yeah, Rob Deere was the next Dave Kingman, basically. And now that's in vogue. Either hit a home run or you're striking out, so you're not hitting a double play ball. I mean, yeah, that's another thing where baseball's going. That I want more bunts and runs. I want more fun stuff in the field, Colin. Analytics is ruining baseball. It's ruining it.
Well, I will say this. The one thing about analytics in basketball, I love Chris Paul's game. I love the mid-range jumper. And I always had, I think I told you this before, is that the playoffs become situational. Like in baseball, analytics are great for volume, but in the playoffs, you'll ask Clayton Kershaw to come out of the bullpen. In the NBA playoffs, hell, sometimes, Daryl, I just need a stop and I need a basket. Kawhi Leonard's great at both of those. So that's my rub on analytics is I do think they work all the time. But I do think there are things in the playoffs situationally. For instance, referees tend to swallow the whistle in the NBA conference finals to finals. You're not Karl Malone.
You're not getting the foul.
You're not going to get the foul, Karl Malone. Sometimes James Harden. So, like, I always think the mid-level player, the Chris Paul, has increasing value as the season progresses. Is that reasonable?
Well, I think not only as you go into the playoffs, but also late in the game, some of the dynamics. So one thing I'd like to clear up as I have to defend the word analytics is people view it as like going on fourth down or shooting threes, or they boil it down to these talking points. And yes, if you were to just say every moment in a game is the same, so a three is usually better than a two, or every moment a game is the same and fourth and three on the 40 is generally better to go fourth than not, whatever it might be, that ignores that analytics is really just using data to inform your decisions. So the decisions haven't changed. So late in a basketball game, let's say you're down one, for example, and you have the last shot. Well, a three does you no good there. A three is no better than a two. Like, you're just trying to act. It's very important to go last. So you don't want to leave time on the clock. You want that shot to be as high percentage as possible, whether it's a two or a three. So, but that's analytics too, is analyzing those probability shifts. So people sort of perceive that like analytics somehow doesn't know about game context or the fact that, you know, going on fourth down is dynamic based on how tough the defense you're going against is or how good your offense is at generating short yardage versus, you know, expected value of yardage. So that's all part of it, right? And so it becomes like everything and nothing, but really all it means is like I'm going to use data to help me make the decision versus just make the decision based on my own personal experience, which is basically I'm only using the data of my lifetime and what I've watched, which is very good data, but it's not all of it. And so you should use that data and other data. That's really all we're saying.
I think we made America smarter over the last 35 minutes.
I hope so. I love coming on your show because I get the best questions. So,
yeah, Nick Wright. Nick Wright. He'll break down these basketball situations, and I'm like, Nick. You know, that's the thing. We're
older
than Nick.
He's just getting preachy in his old age,
isn't he?
He's going for those soundbite YouTube clips. Like he's selling out, Colin. Selling out. Like closer look style.
You know, you and I are still have that garage band quality. We haven't sold out yet.
Exactly. Yeah. None of us have sold out.
Great seeing you, Daryl.
All right. Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it. Thanks.
The Volume.
I want to talk to you about cryptocurrency. Did you know that if you invested $10 in Bitcoin in 2010, it would be worth over $400,000 in January 2021? Crypto could represent the future of money, but it can be intimidating. And what about taxes? Well, with an Alto Crypto IRA, you can trade crypto, like Bitcoin, and avoid or defer the taxes. You can create an account in just minutes and invest with as little as $10, with no setup charges and no account fees. There are over 80 coins available, like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Cardano. make a cash contribution, or transfer cash from an existing IRA. Invest just $10 today. Who knows what it could be worth in 10 years? Ready to take your investments to the next level? Diversify like the pros and trade without tax headaches. Open an Alto Crypto IRA with as little as $10. Just go to altoira.com/easy. That's altoira.com/easy. Start investing in cryptocurrency today. Go to altoira.com/easy.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.